Yeah, we're gonna be ready. We're gonna be ready to go when it's time to go.
What do you like about joint practices?
What I like about joint practices is having the opportunity to compete against somebody else. As you can see, when we get a real chippy practice like we had the other day, we can be tired of seeing each other for a little while, you know, so you get to beat up on somebody else and just see where you stand.
What don't you like about joint practices?
It's happening regardless, so what I don't like don't really matter.
I hope that the Bears are good specifically so that we can get to know Grady Jarrett better. Like, I think he'll talk no matter what because he's a pro. But could you imagine if the Bears are good, the type of quotes that we're going to get from Grady Jarrett?
It's time. It's time to get excited. Is that what he said? It's time to get roused about football. It's time to get something. I forget exactly what he said.
Please? This is time to get pleased? Does that please
time
you?
To get, time to chew it and do it for and, football.
It's something else that you said that you shouldn't say again.
What's that?
Anybody can get it, man. We ready.
Yeah, anybody can get it.
It's the truth.
This is the time where you know, it's time to get hard, time to really challenge yourself.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a really terrible movie.
It's a very important evening. It was terrible, huh?
Yeah, it was
too bad.
And it's like two guys that you love.
I know. It's like, oh, Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart, let's go.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man.
It didn't work.
Maybe on the second or third watch, it looks better. We're giving away a pair of tickets to see the Black Keys No Rain, No Flowers tour with special guest Gary Clark Jr. September 3rd. Huntington Bank Pavilion at Northerly Island in the City Beautiful. Tickets are available at LiveNation.com. Be caller 6 right damn now. 312-540-0670. And you will go to see the Black Keys.
Dig it. Caleb Williams spoke today, didn't he, Lawrence?
He did. He talked about all sorts of things. And it's always good to catch up with the quarterback. Why don't we hear what he's had to say about the public's ups and downs of learning this new offense?
Yeah, it begins by talking about that viral video that showed him getting upset following the drill where he's throwing the ball into the nets and there's like holes in the net.
And he missed them on one don't know what he was trying. And then the other one, he was just blazing the ball boy who was right behind the holes in the net and he was getting them. He hit like 5 out of 5. So here's Caleb talking about that. And more.
What's up, everybody? How's it going?
Good. Let's
get it rolling.
All right, so there's this video.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, some national places, I think.
They blew it up, and it is what it is.
What happened in the video?
Yeah, so it's a quick deliver drill. So you catch it, you know, you're not, you know, trying to get the laces or anything. It's not like you're going through reads, and it's just catch, deliver, and try and deliver to the bottom left corner, and we're trying to aim as if it's a screen. And so, it's a competition between us and the guys, and so how fast you can get it out, how accurate you can get it out, and, you know, they just so happened to blow that one up and not any other one. So, it's a fun drill to work on, you know, accuracy, not using the laces. And also just been, you know, getting your feet up under you and working those throws. So
when people say it's some indication of what's happening to you at camp, what do you say about that?
I just laugh at it. It's, I look at them and I laugh at them, as always. You know, we're out here working, we're getting after it. We're competing and that's one of the drills that we were competing. And, you know, we actually have a rule in our QB room is that if you miss the board, you know, you have to do some, you know, something funny or something like that, or miss the net, you have to do something funny. So we've had some competition, you know, in those areas also. So, it's just, you know, something fun, something, you know, something competitive. And, you know, I was, competing, and it was, you know, I missed it. And, you know, it was a fake anger, that I had, that I showed. Cause, you know, that's what, you know, you're competing with your friends and something like that happens. You give a little, you know, maybe a little, you know, a few words that you may say or choice words after losing to your buddies.
So that's interesting. I mean, I don't know if it was the fake anger.
The thing, you're probably actually angry because you want to win because you're competing.
Which is fine.
And it's okay.
Yeah, of course it is. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay to be like, I was frustrated because I want to win.
I want to win. I'm competing and I'm excerpting it and I missed it because like that's the whole thing of the drill.
But I'm happy that he at least gave the context of that's catch and throw, catch and throw, catch and throw, catch and throw.
Sure. Look, and look, how many of us have done like the football version of Pop a Shot? at a bar or at Sluggers or what have you, and you get like 50 points for the top circle if you can get it in that, or 30 for the second one.
I mean, if you look at how that contest goes now, the people who are in that contest for like college football, they don't even throw it like a quarterback. They shovel it.
Yeah, right. They shovel it.
Like they don't drop back and throw it. They just shovel it now.
What's interesting to me, and I remember talking about this before he was drafted, he's social media savvy. He's online. He's out there. Like, your girl love him about the nails. Remember that? Of like firing back. So here he is firing back. And, you know, it's cool. It, as long as he's comfortable and it doesn't derail anything, then good on him. All right, let's keep listening.
Team rep to Cole Kmet today during practice. Kind of a tight window.
Oh, so close. KB made a great play on it.
That was exactly what you want on that play, though.
I mean, yeah. No, exactly what we wanted. Cole ran a great route. I delivered to the spot. We had Brisker running over top, so you can't you know, necessarily lead him here or get, you know, a kill shot to the face, and try to keep my guys healthy as possible if I can. Brisker was running over top. KB, he beat KB slightly, and he was behind him. And, you know, I put the ball exactly where I wanted. And KB actually, I don't know if he ended up falling, but he reached out and didn't actually look back at the ball, and the ball just ended up hitting his hand. So it was one of those DB got kind of lucky.
Y'all have to grow in terms of trusting each other.
That's one of the biggest things that we kind of talked about after we had that situation. Is like, you know, when it's time, the ball will be in your hands, and you know, I got to trust you, and you got to trust me. And so when I call something like that, you got to be on the same page, and that's what we're working towards every day. Is being on the same page. All good.
Related to Herb's question, so what is that process like of merging the way you see the game with the way Ben sees the game? You have to, over the last 8 months or whatever, learn.
In 8 months, really?
Seven, eight months.
It's a long time.
Learn to see it the way he does, so you're kind of an extension of what he's coaching while you're out there.
Yeah, no, it's been fun. It's challenging to be able to see in somebody else's lens at all times. And obviously you're not always going to be on point, not always going to be where exactly, you know, he may want you when he calls that, but that's what we're working towards, you know, when he calls his play, it's, you know, this play is for this, and this is, you know, this is the situation, and it may change depending on the situation. So in that situation, you know, it's understanding, yes, we're calling a keeper play in a naked or something like that, but it's not necessarily to, you know, throw the ball or anything like that. It's to, if it's there, absolutely wide open, you take it. In any other situation, you know, I wouldn't have been probably wrong, or in most situation I wouldn't have been wrong trying to take DJ settling down in the zone that we had. So you know, it's fun, it's challenging. You know, we're gaining, you know, I'm gaining more knowledge, and coaches gaining more knowledge on me and how I play, and you know, connecting those two things, and then just, you know, the constant communication, open communication in those situations, off the field, on the field, on the sideline in games and things like that, is, you know, where it's gonna be at, and you know, where we're gonna keep growing.
Yeah, how did that go when you were younger and you're trying to do kind of the same process with Lincoln Riley, to see everything the way he sees it?
Yeah, no, it went well. You know, I ended up being here in a good situation. So, you know, I think it takes time. And that's one of the things that I've been a little less patient about, just because we, you know, like we spoke about, is, you know, it's, you know, we're a race. We're on a marathon, we're on a track, and we're trying to get after it. So something I've been pushing, I've been trying to, you know, push the envelope on myself to be able to gain that knowledge, be able to gain exactly where he wants me to be, and exactly in the right time. And, you know, even in practice, if we mess up, or if it's, you know, we hit on it, or it's exactly how we want it, it's still all learning.
So, I mean, I love that question from your guy Jason Leisure.
He's our guy.
From our guy Jason Leisure. The you did this before with Lincoln Riley in terms of trying to see it the way that he sees it. So even as we've talked about today, how Bears fans have not seen this process before in terms of the relationship and the learning curve and how it's supposed to work, Caleb has seen a version of it before. Caleb has lived a version of it before, going to an authoritarian coach who is the head coach and the offensive mastermind, and like, this is the way we do it, period. And this is the way you have to see it, learn.
It is a little different, though, because Lincoln has a bunch of guys that he can go, oh, yeah, that guy was also a 5-star. if you don't get it, I can go to him.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, you're the guy. Like, you're it. There's no backup plan. There's nothing satisfying if Caleb doesn't get on the page with Ben Johnson eventually. And as we talked about at the beginning of the show, like, that might take some time, and that's okay.
So you mean from Ben's perspective, it's different than it was from Lincoln's perspective?
Well, it's different from Caleb's perspective, too, where, you know, like, you kind of, your only hope, Obi-Wan, like, you're it. So
yeah, it's funny because Caleb got the job there when the other guy,
Spencer Rattler,
did not work out.
Yep.
And so Lincoln's like, all right, I don't like the way this is going. Yeah, I'm gonna try this kid.
I got another one of those type of guys. Come here. You're good. Yeah. How about you do it? Let's watch this. 80-yard touchdown on my first play. All like right, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And if Caleb didn't work out, it was going to be Cade Horton.
And Cubs history would be completely changed.
Completely different. See how I took it back to baseball like that?
Always. There's more, right? We have more of Caleb. Here we go.
There's a couple of times where you are the one either telling somebody this is what you got to run here, or your coach even today seemed like you told Luther you got to run through in motion. You're not just stopping right there. How comfortable are you feeling currently now the install is over with the playbook?
Yeah, I've been trying to grind at this playbook consistently, you know, as much as possible. And so, I think a part of it is just being more comfortable with offense in general. I went through a full year being more comfortable with seeing the defense and things like that. Went through a full year of that. And so I think that's part of it. And then also the other part is the hard work and that I put in, that we've been putting in, and the belief and trust and understanding of the offense is something that, you know, we're going to gain and I'm going to gain throughout the years. But as of right now, where we're at, we're growing, we're still progressing, but definitely feel good about where we're at. That doesn't mean that we're going to, you know, be in a situation where we're like, you know, we're good. It's always a constant growth mindset. But, you know, at this time, and I think practice is this 12, 13, we're at a good spot and we still got some time to go before we hit that 26.2, I think it is, at the end of the marathon, where we got to, you know, that's the hardest part is at the end. And so we got to keep going, keep grinding, keep getting after it, and keep chugging along in this marathon.
What do you think about the marathon analogy? He nailed the 26.2, but is the marathon analogy what he's trying to get there? Is that working out for him?
I felt like it was a little clunky the first time that he mentioned it. The second time, it made more sense for him to do it. But
I wonder if he got that from somebody. Ben saying the marathon.
Well, I'm sure someone told him that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And that's probably swimming around in his head, which is why the first time it sounded like he was being like, oh, yeah, we got to get on the track. And then, but wait a minute, I mean a marathon.
You ever have a marathon bar? The candy bar back in the day? It's a long time ago. It was just...
No? Wait, who made the marathon bar? I got to look this up.
Yeah, the marathon bar, it was like... I think it was just before my candy heyday.
No, I've never had this.
Yeah. So I'm sure it's before yours. Like, if
you have memories of the marathon bar out
light
there,
it up.
Or if your parents have memories of that, give them a call.
I had the Reggie bar.
Well, sure. Absolutely. So did I. Folks, if you had a marathon bar, get your affairs in order. Damn you, Tanny. The marathon bar, delicious, very simple. Very simple.
What we got going on?
Just pretty much just caramel. I think it was.
That's my flavor profile. Bring it on.
Caramel inside the chocolate, and it was weaved like a belt. It was like, and if you had enough of them, you could weave them together, and you could have a belt of marathon bars. If memory serves.
Not on today. A day like today is 90 degrees.
No, this would be a bad day to do it.
Don't wear your marathon belt.
It was a long, chewy piece of caramel inside chocolate with holes, like it was a belt.
That sounds outstanding.
I know. Let's go get it.
I would have thought the marathon belt is where you like hold your phone and your water.
No, well,
while you're running.
You have a donut utility belt. Didn't we decide that he's got a belt with like old fashioned?
But I also literally have a runner's belt for when I do races that holds my phone and water.
Wow. I didn't know you did races.
Yeah, not anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, Matt Forte kind of like stopped me from.
Oh yeah,
doing
he told
races.
You stop running on the hard stuff.
Every
yeah.
time I'm out there going for a brisk walk, and I think about dialing it up for a run, I'm like, oh, Matt Forte says that's a no go. You don't want to mess up your knees and back, young man.
He's right though. If I can find a field, though, I'll run. or soft path. I'm down with that. There's a couple of soft paths in Hyde Park and in Jackson Park that, yeah, if you get on those, you're good.
You ever have a soft path bar? I used to have those too.
No, were they next to the
marathon
bar?
Uh-huh.
I might try to get myself together to do a race at some point. Like, I love the Chicago 5K. It's my favorite race. It's the day before the marathon, before the Chicago Marathon, and that route is exquisite. It's from City Hall or from Daly Plaza to the lakefront, down Museum Campus, and then back down Columbus. But it is...
That does sound good.
It's so great because everyone who runs it is pretty much there with someone who's running the marathon.
And they're just running the little one.
Yeah, they're running the easy 5K. And so you meet all these people from all over the world, and they seeing them see Chicago, like the way that we see it, like that messed me up. Like the first time I did it, I was like, I'm running, run. And then you see people stop, and you're like, why are people stopping? And it's like they look back, and they're like, oh, my God, this city is amazing.